بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So just quick recap of last week. So we were talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. So what was the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam's wife? The one he left in Mecca, not the other wife.
Sarah.
Hajar. Sarah was the other wife, his first wife, and Hajar alayhi salam was the second wife. And so he left Ibrahim alayhi salam left Ismail alayhi salam, the young infant, and the mother Hajar alayhi salam in Mecca. What was the two mountains which we call Safa Marwa? The two mountains where we do Sa'i in between is called Safa and Marwa. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, we talk about the different times when he would come back to visit his family, check up on his family. Can someone tell me what was one of those times when he came back? So we have one time he came back when Ismail alayhi salam still a young child, and he tells him that I saw inni ra'a fil manam. I saw in my dream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering me, commanding me to sacrifice you, okay, to slaughter you. And Ismail alayhi salam, being a virtuous son, being a pious son, and having tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, go ahead, do if'al ma tu'mar, do what you are commanded to do. After that, Ibrahim alayhi salam came back again. When Ismail alayhi salam was a little older, this is actually after he got married. What did he tell the first wife? He asked her a question. He said that, how are you guys living? And she started complaining about her life. So he said, give him my salam, give your husband my salam, and tell him that he should change the foot, the porch, change the porch of his house. So basically he told Ismail alayhi salam to divorce his first wife. Then the second time he came back again, and he asked her, how are you guys living? She said, alhamdulillah, we're living with, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with everything. And she didn't complain at all. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, give your husband my salam and tell him to keep the porch of his house. And that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So after that, he came back one more time, and that's when they actually built the Kaaba together. That was another time when they came back. So inshallah, we'll go on. One of the things is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't just leave his family for nothing. Remember, he was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wife, Hajar alayhi salam, she kept on asking him again and again, where are you going? Why are you leaving us here? And then she realized that this must be a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asked that, Allahu amaraka bihada, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order you to do this? He responded by saying, yes. And she says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let us go to waste. إِذَنْ لَنْ يُدَيْعَنَا, he's not going to let us go to waste. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, as he left, he went on and he went behind a mountain, turned around, and he could see his wife and his small child. And he's looking back and he makes a dua. He's worried. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered him to do this and Allah will protect him. But he's worried about them, so he makes a dua. He says, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. He says that, O Allah, O my Lord, I have placed my family, my progeny, in the baytika, meaning near your house. And this is one of the things the ulama say, the foundations, the qawa'id of the house of the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was actually there. In that place, in Makkah Mukarramah, and he knew it because Allah SWT ordered him to go there. And this was built, actually, they say, by Adam alayhi salam, or it could have been the angels. So they built the foundation of the Kaaba. And that location itself, there's scientists that say that that's actually the center of the earth. They also say that, we also know that from the hadith of the Prophet SWT, that directly above the Kaaba is what? The house of the skies of the, what's it called? Bayt al-Ma'mur, yes. Okay, so Bayt al-Ma'mur is directly above the Kaaba. And this Bayt al-Ma'mur, this is the one where Rasulullah saw this when he went to Isra wal-Mi'raj, when he ascended to the skies, and he saw Bayt al-Ma'mur, and he saw that, he said that 70,000 angels do tawaf of this Kaaba, of the skies, in one day, and they're never to return. They never get a chance to do it again. So since the beginning of creation, the beginning of the creation of the angels, and the beginning of the creation of this Bayt al-Ma'mur, every single day, 70,000 times, who knows how many infinity times of angels are created, and they only get one chance to do tawaf of that house. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says, I am leaving my family here in the Baytika, in near your house. And he says, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ. So why am I leaving them here? لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ, so they can establish the prayer. And this tells us, the ulama say, that this tells us the importance of establishing of the prayer. And we see that Rasulullah, for example, when he moved. You know, every one of us, whenever we move somewhere, when we go from one place to another, a new locality, we go on Google and you search for things like, you know, where's the nearest restaurants, where's the nearest malls, stores, Kohl's, for example, if your wives are into that. Okay, so you look into these kind of things. And then you, based on that and the schools, you know, how, what kind of schools and, you know, their rating and that kind of stuff. And then you, you know, pick a house or pick a neighborhood based on those, what you find. But one of the things that we see as Muslims, we are taught, is picking our locality based on the masajid, based on what kind of masjid is in that area, and being near to the masjid. And this is one of the things that Rasulullah says, when he went to Hijrah, when he went to Medina Munawwara, even before he got to the actual place where, you know, Masjid Nabawi is now, he stopped at a place called Quba. He stayed there for about 15 days, and Bani Najjar, and his nani al, you could say, his mother's side family from there, from that side, and they stayed in. He stayed in that area for 15 days. The first thing he built was the qa'id, or the foundation of Masjid Quba, and then he went to Masjid Nabawi in that area, and the first thing he started building was Masjid Nabawi. So you see again and again that we should base our locations, and what we should do is based on being near the masjid and frequenting the masjid. And this is also one of those seven who are going to be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne on the Day of Judgment. Is someone who has qalbuhu mu'allak bil masajid. The one who has his heart is attached to the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us one of those, inshallah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, I am leaving them here, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so they can establish the prayer. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Then he makes dua that, oh Allah, make the hearts of the people go towards them. Make them so that they won't be alone. Meaning that make them, and everyone, this is a basic necessity of life, you have to be around people. You can't be by yourself. You have to have friends, you have to have family, you have to be around people. Then he makes another dua. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. And give them from the thamarat, and give them from the fruits and the vegetables, and, you know, the basically the monetary and the things of this world, so that they can have shukr. So he ties it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ties everything back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّهُمْ, so that they can have shukr. They can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they can thank you. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves his family there, and you know what happened next. Now Ismail alayhi salam, when he grows older, he marries into this tribe. Anybody, what was the name of the tribe? Jurhum. Okay, the tribe was Jurhum. They're from Yemen, and they were nomadic tribes, so they were going in the desert. They would go from one location to another, you know, searching in search of food and water and that kind of stuff. So they were there, this tribe Jurhum. They actually went, we talked about that last week, how they came, they asked permission, and they started to live in the area of Makkah Mukarramah around the Kaaba. Now this tribe, we know that their language was Arabic, they were Arab. And Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam were not Arab. They used to speak Aramaic. That's the language of that time. They're from Iraq, and they used to speak Aramaic. But Ismail alayhi salam grew up in this tribe, basically with Jurhum. He learned Arabic, and that's why they call him Musta'arab, meaning that he became an Arab. And one of the things I learned once when I read once was, I believe it was Alama Aini, rahimullah. He says that Arab, what is the definition of an Arab? He says, Al Arab, kullu man aslama wa takallama bil Arabi. So anybody who has Islam in their heart, who has Iman in their heart, and speaks Arabic, that person is an Arab. So this is the thing that everyone, you know, we can all become Arab. We can all become if we learn that language. And that's something that we all are Arab. We all just have forgotten our language, but we need to learn that language, inshallah ta'ala. And the opposite of that is ajam. Ajam is basically from the word that someone who cannot speak clearly, so that they're called ajam or ajam, basically, the ones who cannot speak clearly, they're non-Arab. Now, Jurhum, this tribe, Ismail alayhi salam married into their family, and he grew up with them. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, for years after that, their progeny lasted, went on for generations, and about 300 years before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, around 300 plus years before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, another tribe from the nomadic tribes came in and attacked, and they actually took over control of Makkah Mukarramah, and this was called Banu Khuza'a. So the Banu Khuza'a tribe came and took over Makkah. Now, one of the things that Jurhum, this tribe that was living in Makkah, before they left, before they were kicked out, they were banished from the city and kicked out of the city, or the leaders were kicked out of the city, one of the things they did was they covered up the well of Zamzam. So they covered up, filled it with dirt or covered it, whatever they did. They covered up Zamzam and they stole a lot of treasures that were in the Kaaba itself, and they took it with them and they left. Now, one of the things of Banu Khaza'a, they ruled for about 300 years. Okay, so about 300 years they ruled in Makkah. And one of the famous people of Banu Khaza'a, Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. And this man, he's notorious. Anybody know what he's notorious for? Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. He's actually he was the leader of Banu Khaza'a at one point, and he was going on a trip, and he saw these people worshipping these stones and idols. So he's like, you know, this looks good. So he asked them to give him one or make one for him. And he took it back, it was Hubul. He took it back with him to Makkah, and he initiated the worship of idols. So up to that point, from all the people living in Makkah, they would be on the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, on the Tawheed of Ibrahim alayhi salam, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But then Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i brought this idol back to Makkah, and that's where he introduced idol worship. So one of the things we learn here, the Prophet actually said, he saw him in Jahannam, he saw him and he was gathering his qusuba. Qusub is like your intestines. So he saw him wandering around in hellfire, holding his intestines in his hands. So he was being punished because of this act of introducing idolatry into Makkah Mukarramah. And one of the things we learn from this also is the Prophet ﷺ tells in a hadith that man sunna sunnatan hasana, the one who introduces a good sunnah, establishes a good, habit. Someone who establishes something good, then that person gets the reward of doing that good, and anybody up to the Yawm al-Qiyamah that does that same good action, that person will get the reward of it. But on the other hand, man sunna sunnatan sayya, the one who does an evil or introduces an evil action, that person will get the punishment of that action for whatever he did, and for whoever follows that action until the Day of Judgment. So Allah protect us all from doing that. And that's, we see this nowadays. I don't want to go into tangents, but for example, weddings. We see that, like the Muslims, we had a simple wedding from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and now we have the mehndi, and we have this, and we have that. We have these, you know, 20-day parties going on and stuff, and people go broke. Okay, people actually go broke spending on these weddings because they can't afford them in the first place, but just to show off or what not, and just to keep up these rituals, they have to go broke, and that's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want from us. Now, next, if we look at the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ." And that's the on Hafs, the common way of reading it. But there's another way of reciting this, another qira'ah of reading this ayah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفَسِكُمْ. And the difference is, أَنفُسِكُمْ mean that he came from amongst you. He's a man like you, he's not an angel, he's not someone from outside, but he's from your tribe, he's from your people. Another meaning, مِّنْ أَنفَسِكُمْ, meaning that his lineage is the purest of all lineages. And this is one thing we know of the Prophet ﷺ, that his lineage was pure. Like I said last time, all from Ibrahim alayhi salam, or actually from Adam alayhi salam, all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us in one of the hadith that none of the lineage, no one committed adultery. They're all pure from marriage. All the progeny is from marriage. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, Abu Sufyan, we know that the Roman emperor, this is way later, Abu Sufyan was with a caravan in the Roman lands. And the Roman Empire, when he called him, one of the questions he asked Abu Sufyan, he said, how is his lineage? And Abu Sufyan says his lineage is from the purest of our lineage, meaning he's from the best of us. He has the most noble lineage from the people of Quraysh, or from that area. And what is this lineage? This is Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abdi Manaf bin Qusay ibn Kilab bin Murra bin Ka'b ibn Lu'ay Ibn Ghalib, Ibn Fihr, Ibn Malik, Ibn Nadr, Ibn Kinana, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Mudrika, Ibn Ilyas, Ibn Mudar, Ibn Nizar, Ibn Ma'ad, Ibn Adnan, Ibn Ismail, Ibn Ibrahim. So one of the things is from Adnan, in Sahih Bukhari, it goes up to Adnan. After that, from Adnan, we know that he is from the progeny of Ismail and Ibrahim alayhi salam. But they don't know how many people. He could have been a direct descendant of a son of Ismail, or there could be one or two people in between. And from his mother's side, the Prophet ﷺ, his mother was Amina bint Wahab ibn Abdi Manaf bin Zuhra ibn Kilab ibn Mudra. So we know that from his mother's and father's side, the lineage links in Kilab ibn Mudra. Kilab ibn Mudra, one of the grandfathers or ancestors of the Prophet ﷺ. Now the word Quraysh, we know the tribe Quraysh, the name of this qabila, Quraysh, it gets its name from Kirsh. Kirsh means a shark. So Quraysh is like a small shark, you could say. And Quraysh, basically Qarasha is to bite onto something, to basically, you know, tear it apart. And Quraysh got its name because it's like a shark in the water, and how it dominates the prey, and it dominates those there, you know, everyone who go, all those fish in the sea, that whenever they see the shark coming, they all run away. So this is just like that. Quraysh is a dominating tribe. Some of the ancestors of the Prophet ﷺ, we'll go over inshallah.
Fihr,
yeah. But it was basically Al-Qurashi, he was called Al-Qurashi, but it was Quraysh is the name of the tribe. And basically it's from Kirsh, which means shark. So Qusay ibn Kilab, this is one of the ancestors of the Prophet ﷺ. Qusay ibn Kilab, remember we said 300 years, Banu Khuza'a ruled over Makkah. They took over Makkah and they ruled for about 300 years. Qusay ibn Kilab, he's also one of his nicknames is Al-Mujammi', because he gathered all the Quraysh. They used to be living some in the mountains, some in the valleys, some, you know, in different places outside of Makkah, inside Makkah. He gathered them in one area, and he actually got them together, and they attacked Khuza'a, and they actually reclaimed authority over Makkah. And one of the things Qusay ibn Kilab, he's known for, and Kilab, you know, you might think, what is Kilab? That doesn't make sense. What kind of name is that? Kilab is actually, they say his name was something else, but his nickname, or you could say his name, even if it was his real name, Kilab comes from Kalb, which means dog, and Kilab is dogs. So one of the things the ulama say that he was a hunter, and he would like to hunt with dogs. So he'd always have like a pack of dogs with him. So that's where he got his name from. Also, it's narrated that someone asked the Arab, they said that, why do you guys name your sons after these creatures like dogs and wolves and dhib, for example, wolf and that kind of stuff. So he says that our sons, their names are for the enemy. So we scare the enemy with them. And our slaves are for us. So they have like nice names like Marzuk, like the one who is given provision and that kind of stuff. They give their slaves good names and they give their sons these scary names so they can basically scare off the enemy. Now Qusay ibn Qilab, when he took back control, one of the things he did was he had these different, offices that they would have. So for example, you have the Hijaba. Hijaba is the one who would take care of the Kaaba itself. So they would have the lock and key of the Kaaba itself, and they were only allowed, the person could only go inside if they opened the door. So they were in control of the Kaaba itself, and that was Banu Abd al-Dar. So that was Hijaba, then Siqaya, which is to feed and give drink to the pilgrims, to give drink to the visitors. Remember, people would come in and trade and that kind of stuff. So you had people coming in, they would give them drink. This was with Banu Hashim. Then you had Imara. Imara was the reconstruction of the Kaaba, reconstruction of the houses and that kind of stuff, other buildings inside of Makkah. You had Liwa. Liwa was the office of basically the flag. Okay, so they were basically in charge of declaring war, and they were in charge of war and taking care of the army and that kind of stuff. Sifara, which was like an ambassador. So you had the tribe of Umar bin Khattab, they were actually they had this Sifara, and that's why Umar bin Khattab was called Safir al-Quraysh, because he was an ambassador. He would be sent if they needed to talk and, you know, reconcile or talk to anybody outside, they would send Umar bin Khattab. And then they also had Nadwa, and there's others. Nadwa is one of those that they would have a consultation. So that was, they would gather near the Kaaba, and they would have Dar al-Nadwa. This is the office of consultation where the tribes would get together and they would make big decisions. Amr, this is the son of Qusay. So Amr, he's better known as Hashim. His real name is Amr, but his name that overtook and everyone knows him as Hashim was because he was the first to introduce Tharid. Tharid is a nice dish. Okay, it's a dish where you make soup. So the people of Quraysh, they would make soup for the pilgrims, whoever would come to make Hajj of the Kaaba and do Tawaf and that kind of stuff. They would make soup for them, and it would be easier to, you know, feed a large group of people with soup. But Hashim or Amr, he introduced Tharid. So he got bread. He broke it up. He did hasham. Hasham means to break something into parts. He broke this bread into parts and he put it into the soup, making tharid. So that's a beautiful dish if you try it sometime, inshallah. And that's why he's called Hashim. Also, Hashim is known for the one who introduced the two trade caravans in the winter and in the summer. So Rihlat al-Shita was safe, and from Surah Quraysh, he's the one who introduced that. So in the winter months, they would go south to Yemen. And in the summer months, they would go north to Syria and that Damascus and that area.
Hashim. Umar?
Sorry, Amr. Amr. Yeah, Amr. And I'll talk about the son of Amr, Hashim, or Abdul Muttalib. We'll talk about him, inshallah, next time. جزاك الله خير. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.